Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Innovation Room podcast. I'm Rhiannon Huff, and I'm here with my co-host, Tori Holman. And today we are talking all about facility maintenance and branding.
Yeah, this is an exciting one, y'all, because it's a two-part episode. So today in part one, we are talking all about how can FM companies, facility maintenance companies, just really lean into branding best practices. B2B branding is pretty challenging, especially when you are service focused. And I know I'm in charge of marketing for our company, and I find it hard to lean into some of those B2B branding strategies. So we just really want to dig into this one today. And before I introduce our guests, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Innovation Room wherever you get your podcasts. Y'all, we are so excited to welcome such fabulous guests to our podcast this week. We have Rebecca Hanfield, the Vice President of PR and Marketing, and Kirsten Sokolowski, the Senior Brand Strategist from Brainbox AI. So these are really smart ladies who are with us today. And Brainbox AI is a Canada-based company, and they work to harness the power of AI to help businesses run their HVAC systems more sustainably, for purposes of lowering carbon emissions and reducing energy consumption. So Rebecca is the VP of Marketing and PR at Brainbox AI, and she leads initiatives there that integrate cutting-edge AI technologies with sustainable practices in real estate. And her branding prowess has played a really key role in positioning her company at the forefront of the green building and clean tech revolution. And Kirsten is a writer, editor, and brand specialist with over 15 years of industry experience. And she leverages her expertise at Brainbox AI in content strategy and copywriting to enhance brand communications. She's really passionate about tech and sustainability and where they intersect, and especially is interested in the real estate sector. So ladies, we're so excited to have you with us today. I want to hear from each of you about your career trajectories thus far. So Rebecca, tell me how you've arrived at Brainbox AI.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having us, Reid, Mari. We're so happy to be here. We also think you are fabulously important women, and we're very happy to have been invited. My career path has really been technology focused. So I've always marketed and used PR to help promote technology. I've worked in healthcare tech, climate tech, communication technology, and I've always sold to businesses or government. So no B2C, really B2B, B2G. And my focus throughout my career has really been to market technologies that are making a difference in the lives of people. That really motivates me, like healthcare tech, improving the patient experience, now climate tech, trying to save the planet and save future generations. So that's really motivating to me. And I really started my career with a focus on event management and branding. And of course, over the years, developed an expertise in other things like digital marketing, content strategy, public relations, et cetera. But branding has always held a special place in my heart. I think it's one of the most fascinating aspects of marketing because it's very qualitative versus quantitative. Things like brand perception, brand sentiment, brand recognition, brand reputation. So I've always found that very interesting. And I'm lucky that throughout my 12 plus year career that I've always been able to continue to do branding and now do it with exceptional people like Kirsten on my team. And now I have the privilege of leading a 6-person team at Brainbox. It's a wild ride. We were founded in 2017 and officially launched to market in 2019. I'm proud to say that I'm employee number 8. So I was there at the very beginning, and we officially launched in May 2019, and we were 12 people. And today in 2024, we are 180. We have a lot of product launches under our belt. We have fundraises under our belt and an acquisition. So it's been quite a journey, and it's been really fun.
Wow.
That's been the journey before.
That's incredible, Rebecca. Kirsten, what about you?
Tough act to follow. So my path to Brainbox AI has been a pretty sinuous one. I took the long way around for sure. I began my career actually in South Africa. I'm from South Africa. I began there as a journalist. And then I moved to Sweden. I followed my husband. He was doing his PhD at the time. And I fell into marketing for a fintech startup in Stockholm. And then since then, I've been consulting at various startups as well as academic institutions. And then in 2021, I began consulting for Brainbox AI, and then up until this year, where I transitioned to a full-time position. And I'm very happy there.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing, ladies.
All right, ladies. So let's just dive into topic one, which is branding for FM companies. And Rebecca, when you said branding, you know, is at your heart. Us as the sign girls here, I really related to that. So, you know, as you talked about, B2B branding is really challenging for companies, and has even those that have been around for a really long time. In some ways, it's even more difficult for younger businesses. And being part of a very mature industry like the FM industry, it can stifle that flexible mindset when it comes to branding and the branding strategy, especially for 2024. So, Rebecca, let's take things from a 100,000 foot view. Where FM companies start, and what should they do for their brand in this saturated FM industry?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think, like you're mentioning, like new companies, older companies, the incumbents, I think they all have their own challenges when it comes to branding. And I think one thing that's really important with branding is that it has to evolve and it has to change as the rest of the world does. For me, it's natural to take time every couple of years to evaluate your current brand position. And the important thing with that is to not just want to do a brand change or a brand distillation for fun. We have to do it with a purpose. And I think the first step to doing that is to understand what your brand strengths are and what your brand weaknesses are. Brand strengths. I'll just give an example to try to make it a little more concrete. If you've been in the market for a very long time, let's just say 100 years, okay, you're very established, you have strong brand recognition. When you're going to do your brand evolution, you don't want to lose that because that's a huge strength that you have. So it's important to know what you're good at. Maybe on the not so good side, you've been around for 100 years. You have this perception of being super old school or associated with just one, not technologically savvy, and you want to get away from that. So it's important to understand strengths, weaknesses. And it's also important to understand your history because there is a moment in time where that brand worked. And you need to understand where it comes from, why it worked at some point, why it maybe is not a perfect fit now, and how you can evolve it. And it doesn't need to be like brand shifts don't need to be 0-100. There's all the middle. So I think it's important to keep that in mind. And something too is I think there's always this, even like new companies, old companies, there's always the fantasy brand, right? Oh, I want to be perceived as the most sustainable and the most avant-garde and the perfect brand perception and recognition, but you have to make sure that it matches with your company's true identity. If your brand is misaligned, it'll be really cool for a certain amount of time, but after a while, the incongruency will become obvious. So it also has to be true and authentic. So that would be high level advice of where to start. And don't just make the change because for fun. You have to have a purpose, and there's a methodology to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying about honoring your brand's history. For NAS, we've been around for, it'll be 90 years this year. And
I did not know that.
And so talk about a brand evolution. We started as like a local neon sign company and now are national, somewhat international. And that's a ton of change that the company has seen over 90 years. The one thing that's really important to our brand, though, maybe this is true for some of our listeners, we are family owned. And so some of those sort of more traditional values are really important to our owner. They're important to our employees. I think they're a thing that's valued by our customers. And so it's things like that. Like you're saying, Rebecca, what is authentic to your brand? What speaks to the heart of your brand? And then pull that out because that's going to be a thing that sets you apart from your competitors. For sure.
And don't shy away from it. I think that sometimes people wait too long and your company has evolved and your brand hasn't. So it's also in that way, it has to keep going and it has to keep matching up.
Yeah. I was just going to say that there's a lot of companies that almost just take that area for granted. It just is what it is. And having somebody continually looking at that throughout the years, as things change, as companies change, as we all adapt to different things, it's so important. So, Kirsten, where should FM companies start when it comes to distilling their brand in this saturated FM industry?
I think you all had really good points. And I think that where Rev was talking about being flexible, but then also coming back to the basics. So I'm a firm proponent of going back to the basics and starting with intentions. No matter how old your company is, you need to also look at like, why are you doing what you're doing? And what are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? For whom? And then it's much easier once you have that solid conviction, it's much easier to navigate a more saturated market. For an FM company, what are you doing? Maybe you're making facilities safer. You're making them more efficient. You're making them more comfortable. And who are you doing that for? Are you doing it for building owners, for organizations, for the occupants? And once you have that down, then you can ask yourself, now, why? Why am I doing this? Is it just about money? Is it about making buildings more sustainable? Is it about making buildings more technologically advanced and future-proof, and not just for current occupants, but for future occupants too? Is longevity important to you? Really distilling what your core values are and reiterating them. Did you ask me a question about value prop as well?
Well, when it comes to identifying your unique value proposition, yeah, is what we threw out there. What I was just hearing as you were talking is just, what message exactly are you trying to get across to everybody else as a company? What are, yeah, you trying to say to everybody else? And that's, it's so broad, but it is so hard to kind of encompass that in your brand and be able to recognize that when we look at that, when we look at that company brand, when we look at that, we automatically think what? And to put that in people's mind is so difficult. Any other unique value proposition there?
Well, it's not just for other people. It's, I suppose, also for your employees, right? Your employees also need to understand why they're showing up every day and whether their personal values also are reflected in the company. And I think that's where authenticity comes in as well, having that from all of your employees as well as the overall organization, and then it's better transmuted to your clients. And then if you're talking about where you stand out from other people, your value proposition, I think articulating that is very fundamental. I'd say that you really need to understand what you're bringing to the table that your competitors don't or can't. And I think Rib is going to laugh at me for this because I am a big nerd, but the first step would be to research. You need a firm understanding of your market, right? So you need to know who your competitors are. You need to know who your potential clients are. You need to know what their needs are. And that's quite an in-depth, scary thing to do too. And you need to also realize that you don't have to do that alone. There are companies that can help you do that market research if you don't have the staff or the capacity to do that yourself. And then it's also important to have, well, just talking about BrainBox AI, for example, we optimize HVAC systems, and we know that there are other companies that do that, and they do that well. But we know that ease of integration and automation and our price points are things that set us apart. That, and we have a highly qualified team, quite a large, highly qualified team. And knowing all of that is good, yes, but you also have to communicate it. So I think that the next step is to be able to communicate it clearly and consistently across all of your platforms. And that could be your social media, your brochures, your website, your signs, your client presentations. You need to have conviction about who you are, what you're doing, what you're bringing to the table, how you're different. And you need to reiterate that consistently.
Yeah.
Consistency is key.
Yeah.
And we can always start something, but to continue that message where it's in that mindset constantly. And I thought it was so great that you brought up that it's not just for the audience, but it is for internal as well.
That's what I was going to say.
I am such a big proponent of when you have those employees that are on board, that truly believe in your brand, that believe in your company, to me, that's a starting point. Without those employees that as that backbone of truly believing that, how is anybody else going to believe what you're trying to portray when you don't internally? So that was such a good point that you brought up. And I just really loved that.
Yeah. And yeah. Oh, I think one other thing is also to remain flexible, right?
Right.
Markets shift and they change. Things change. And there's more automation. There's more technology. And with that change, your clients' needs and expectations are naturally going to change as well. So even though you need a solid foundation, and I think actually a solid foundation will set you up to be able to navigate those changes better and to be able to remain flexible on the surface, but have that firm, grounded, rooted values at the bottom and at the base.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think we've already touched on this, but I just want to highlight it specifically that branding really looks different for everyone, right? So even though BrainBox AI and North American Science are both in the FM space, our approaches have to be so specialized. You guys are based in Canada. You're using artificial intelligence technology. You are a younger company. And compared to NAS, which has been around for a little bit longer, but maybe we're not tech focused, but not in the same way that you are. And so the point being, there's just really not a one size fits all solution. But I do think that there are some elements of branding that are really universal to people in the FM space specifically, not that they can't apply to other industries, but I'll toss it out to both of you. What should brands really focus on no matter their product or service?
Yeah, it's challenging to find for all companies, because every company is so different. But I think expertise is probably a really strong element that has to be reflected. Like you said, your organization comes from it from a certain angle. We come from it from a certain angle, but we all have our distinct fields of expertise. And being able to communicate that, educate the customer, bring the customer or the prospect further in the reflection or their solution that is related to the product that you're offering, I think is very important. And because you're, for example, in our case, we're coming from AI, being able to bring that to the forefront, show them the possibility of what we can do with that is super important. And that's only possible when you have that expertise in house. So being able to call on those gurus that, in our case, bring AI to the HVAC world, or bring AI to the refrigeration world, or bring generative AI to the FM world, so that they can better understand it. And that's the job that we feel we have.
Yeah, absolutely. And just providing that expertise to people for free in some ways.
It's part of the brand
experience almost. Yeah, yeah.
And we do a lot of that in not just in the selling process, right? We do that in our marketing efforts as well. I'm preaching some of Kirsten's work here, but we do a lot of thought leadership pieces or just information education pieces to help also just the general industry or the general market advance its knowledge and understanding of specific topics. Because we're knee deep in it, we're always in it. It's easy for us to be able to distill these complicated concepts in a way that's easy for FMs or the market in general to digest and understand, and hopefully influence it, help evolve the industry to a certain degree.
Yeah. Yeah. I really appreciate that perspective of it is about the money, because it's always about the money, but also how do we really add value? How do we make someone's experience with our brand or just with the industry in general really meaningful? And thought leadership content is a great way.
And there's always profitability, right? But in our case, we always have the ulterior motive of saving the planet, right? There are also bigger...
more meta.
Company survival is essential, and we want to be successful, but we also have the ulterior... Our mission statement is to save the planet with AI, is to also be able to, even if it's not our AI technology, if it's a less superior one that is adopted, there is still progress in the right direction with regards to our ultimate mission, which is to help future generations still have green grass and clean air.
I think sustainability, it's not even such an optional branding strategy anymore. It's a necessity. And I think I can see it happening in the FM industry that there's more and more pressure to show a commitment to environmental stewardship. There are all kinds of regulations coming into place and already in place. And so there is a pressure to show that you are adopting energy efficient practices, that you use sustainable materials, that you have waste reduction strategies, and it's not just about branding. It's about the way that life is now and how we all need to move forward and move towards a greener future. And that's just about future-proofing your business as well.
Yeah.
And it's so absolutely true. Everybody now, that's one of the first things they want to know. What are you doing? What is your company doing in this space? So it's not just about your expertise or what you do. It's all of these other different levels of that encompasses who your company is as a whole. Like you said, what those values are, what is your culture? Obviously a big topic in regards to that. They always want to know the diversity. That's also another hot topic. Again, people are looking for more. And I think with this big world of technology, they can find out more compared to what we used to be able to do. So that door is open. What they're looking for is that transparency of that company to really lay out openly, what is your company about and what do you stand for?
So then to flip things around a little bit, what should FM companies absolutely avoid when they're thinking about branding? This is the pit that you don't want to fall into.
Interesting question. I think, Kristen, like, I'm sure you have thoughts as well, but maybe my first instinct is to say, don't do anything that's not authentic to who you are. But I know it's 101, probably we've heard this many times. And also be true to who you are, what you have to offer, what your expertise is. Don't pretend to do something, be good at something you're not. Understand where you stand and what your strengths are. And then also understand how your product fits with the market. So product market fit, right? When you're messaging, you're not just messaging to say whatever you feel like, right? It has to, your brand, your perception has to also respond with a need that exists in the market. This is, again, to have a successful company, you need to be able to have a product that fits with the need that's out there. So I think avoid being blind to the needs of the market, the evolution of the market. Don't try to ignore AI. Don't try to ignore sustainability. Your brand has to evolve. You have to be aware of trends. You have to be aware of where the market is going. And you don't need to follow it to the exact T, but you should keep that in mind in your strategy, in your brand strategy as you move forward and your corporate strategy as a whole. If not, you'll probably fall in a crack at some point, or you'll be seriously disadvantaged.
Yeah. So I'm curious as far as, because I would totally agree, sustainability is critical in pretty much every industry. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do, that has to be a thing that your company is focused on. I do think, though, for companies that have been around for longer and are a bit change averse, mm-hmm. and maybe they haven't quite gotten to the sustainability piece of things yet, how should brands navigate that, right? Because Rebecca, you're right. We don't want to be inauthentic to who we are as a brand. So if sustainability is not a value for us, what do we do?
So my first reaction is to say that it will come to you through your clients. So if I'm thinking of FMs as an example, and let's say you're working with a big real estate company, these real estate companies now have legislation they have to follow. If they're a publicly traded company, they have commitments that they've made to be net zero by 2040. If they're in New York, they have local law 97 that will start fining them if their buildings are too brown or too dirty and not green enough. I think your customer, if you listen to your market, they will lead you in the right direction by default, because they will start asking questions like, oh, I heard that this fan or this piece of equipment is much more sustainable than what we have right now. Can you tell me more about it? I've heard that we can avoid a retrofit and use a technology like AI to help with our energy optimization. So the market will, I think, even if you're avoiding it or it's not instinctive to you, will come to you with the need. you have to be ready to respond to that in an intelligent fashion. So there is a degree of preparation that's required. If you don't get on board, it'll be very clear with the client conversations that you're having that you're not on the
right. They'll bypass you because somebody else is on board. Somebody else is already on that train, already going forward. If you're not ready to answer those questions and not following those trends and don't have that.
That's not the best case scenario. The best case scenario is if you're an FM, you come to your client, you're like, I heard legislation is coming and I would like to propose this because I understand it and I know where you go. So that's the best case scenario.
It's a precipitation of needs. Yeah.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah. Kirsten, do you have thoughts on that? Kind of branding pitfalls to avoid?
Branding pitfalls to avoid. Yeah, I think flexibility is a huge one. And I think we see it a lot with things like installing generative AI or AI. People seem, there is a knee-jerk response to not wanting to install AI, or there's a knee-jerk resistance to new technology often. And that's understandable because change is scary and you don't want to do more work. For example, you wonder, is it a fad? Do I just wait for the next thing and do that? But I think that the issue with that is that things move so quickly. And especially if you're talking about technology, things move so quickly. And it's so quick it's falling behind can happen very quickly too. If you look at companies like Blockbuster, for instance, they held on to VCRs and DVDs and their storefronts for so long. They just kept doubling down and then they didn't adapt to the digital revolution, right? The streaming services like Netflix took over. Netflix, by the way, used to be a DVD rental service. They used to post DVDs to people. And that's just a typical example or a really great example of how if you follow what is happening in the world and you meet your clients' needs and the market needs and you just go with that flow, you can come out on top. So it is about, yes, you need to make smart decisions. And yes, it's probably a good idea to try something out and see if it works. But being blind, like Reb said, being blind to what is happening around you in the market, I think that's a mistake.
Yeah.
Sitting stagnant is what I'm hearing. Like sitting stagnant in your current success without that hard look at what is new, what is changing. And then, like you said, technology is one of those things that is so quickly changing that you have to have somebody almost within your company constantly trying to look at that, constantly keeping up while everybody else is doing what your normal everyday is. Because if you don't, you're left in the dust. And Blockbuster was a completely on par example. It was perfect. So you don't want to be Blockbuster.
Don't be Blockbuster.
Avoid at all costs.
Hashtag don't be Blockbuster. Yeah.
I think also the moral of the story is technology and specifically AI, it's here. We interact with it every day, whether we know we're doing it or not. We use it to unlock our phones. We use it to do our banking, deposit checks. Whether you like it or not, it's here. And generative AI, in my opinion, will be like that too. Soon we won't be noticing it. We won't even be talking about it anymore. It's going to be here.
This has been a great episode. We just want to thank again, Kirsten and Rebecca, for joining us today. Branding is an expansive topic. So is AI. But we hope the perspectives and insights that were provided today by our awesome guests help make taking on brand and AI strategies just a little bit more easy. And key takeaway today is just, it's not as scary as we all think it is. AI is new, it's ever changing. So is branding. It's something that we always have to look at for the company and just take it bit by bit and whatever works best for your company, your values, just take those baby steps and move towards the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with you, Ree. Staying just really authentic to your brand, who your employees shape your brand. How do you lean into the value that they're already adding, whether it's from a technical standpoint or a personality standpoint? And how do you integrate the internal and the external to really be true to who your brand is, especially in B2B, it's all about relationships. And so knowing who you are and how that can support and just really add value to your clients is going to be your best bet in figuring out how do you brand as an FM company. So just want to thank you all for joining us for today's episode. Don't forget, you can stay tuned for part two of today's episode next week. You can also sign up for our monthly InAssign newsletter. And that just is a great resource to provide more education, stuff like what you get here on the podcast. And we do also offer some exclusive content that you can only get by signing up for that newsletter. And you can find that in a link in the description or right here on the screen. Let us know what your branding best practices are in the comments below. What AI tech are y'all harnessing to really just augment your business practices? We want to hear from you down in the comments. Until next time, y'all, keep innovating.